We'll be looking at a couple of passages in the New Testament today. We'll get there in a minute. But what we have been looking at over the last while, really, is various different things in everyday life, a wide range of things, where being a follower of Christ, how that impacts those things. We're going to kind of take a break after this week. We're going to look in the book of Philippians, just so you know, over the next couple of months. So we'll be taking a break from this topic. But I thought I'd conclude today's Life Works with Jesus, the topic being queuing. Your favourite subject, queuing. Well, now, if you're not from this country, this may be a bit strange to you, but we in this country are known, we almost pride ourselves in our ability to queue. I mean, stand in a line, okay? Tell me, where do we queue? Tell me, Tesco's at the supermarket. Petrol. Motorway. All right, Wendy's on a roll here. Get it out. Let it come out. This is therapy for you. Yeah. Airport. Bus stops. Ladies do have to queue for the toilet. The men don't. Although I was in a very strange situation where the ladies' loo was empty the other day and the men's loo was queuing. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you, Margaret. Showers on a campsite, yeah, yeah. Concerts, coffee, cinema, call centres. Your call is important to us. No, it's not. Please wait. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So why do we queue? Why do we British people queue? This is a very passionate. But let me tell you also, I mentioned to Daniel this morning what I was preaching, and he asked me, and he immediately almost got kind of red with anger as he started to tell me about some of his pet hates about queuing. So this is a hot topic for everybody, all right, by the way. Why do we queue? Why do we queue? That's Britain. Oh, hang on. See, this is brilliant. This is fantastic. If I was to say to you, why are you a Christian? I'm pretty sure it'd be like, right, that's an interesting one. But I'm saying, why do we queue? And everyone is talking at the same time. Brilliant. Fantastic. One at a time. Hands up, please. Shari, you were first. It's a sensible and more efficient thing to do. Is it a Philippine thing as well? No. Okay. Maybe you've influenced them. Yes, Rose. Polite. Okay. Okay. And is it a, is it in your culture, is it queuing a... Okay, yeah. Everyone wants to go at the same time, yeah. Any other reasons why we queue? See, you think talking to people is a good thing. I do not think it's. I'm one of these people where I'm in the queue and don't talk to me because I don't want to interact with people. But anyway, you think that's a good thing? Yeah. Okay. I remember not to queue with you then. So that takes me on to the next thing. Tell me some no-nos or some really bad things. Daniel always is already expressed this, so maybe you can start the ball rolling here if you get away. You need to put your hand up, because what are the kind of things that frustrate you in queuing? I knew Keith would have one of these as well. Go on, Keith. Go on, Josh. Yeah, queue jumping effectively, yeah. Especially if there's a big family at Thorpe Park and you think, I'm nearly there on that ride, I will be on this next ride, and then a whole family of six come in because one person's standing there and then you can't get... Yeah, yeah. Ah. well, we got that free because of Ella's disability thing, but you don't actually jump the queue. You end up just, anyway, we can talk about it later. But yeah, don't waste your money on it. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Other nations, yeah, let's not get too. Yeah. Yeah. Well, go on then, Daniel, because it hasn't been mentioned, Ash, I'm surprised, yeah. Yeah. Daniel, that was me and Leslie. Yeah, sorry. Okay. I mean, I'm British, and I, as a young man, or growing up, I just thought queuing was what everybody did. And then when I was just left university, I started to tour with this band, and we went skiing. One of the gigs we did was skiing. And I learned how to ski. That's how I learned how to ski. And but I wasn't particularly good, obviously, to start with. You know, you kind of find your feet, and so you kind of a bit wobbly. And in this particular ski resort, as you move up to the next level, if you want to go off the really baby skiing, you move to the next level, you had to go on a different ski lift. So I thought, okay, I'll try this. And the ski lift had a slightly uneven surface with a slight incline to get to the thing. So I'm like, you have to go sideways up on the skis. I'm like this. And I'm thinking, oh, I'll join the back of the queue. Well, I don't know whether they were Germans, Graham, or whether they might have been French, possibly Swiss or something, but you kind of get there and you think, oh, they'll take pity on me because I'm not very good, and, you know, they'll sort of move out of my way. But, oh, no. So people come scooping down the slope, and literally I was pushed over several times. I'm walking around on the floor like this. And could I get to the front of this queue to get on the ski lift? So I think I gave up in the end. So, you know, so I suddenly realized that not everybody in the world queues. You know, so it's a bit more like, yeah. So imagine what your culture would be like. Everyone pushes the front, but on snow, is that's an interesting one. And the other one, John and Anu might relate to this, is when I went to get a visa at the Indian Embassy in London. So I think, and you, I thought there would be an orderly queue, like there would be an embassy. This is an embassy of all places. This was the nearest thing to playing rugby, apart from playing rugby, that I've ever been in my life. Even when they call your name, like, Mr. Fox, your visa's ready, like the things over where Chris is, and I had to fight through, like, they've called my name, not your name, they've called my name, and I'm like this, oh, that was, so I suddenly realised that queuing is not universal, but we think it is, and it's right, don't we, because we're British. I read some articles in the Telegraph, let me read you this, some of you may relate to this, again, maybe, if some of you might just think, what's he talking about, but there's a study was done at University College of London, I mean, because we have no better things to do with our time than to study queuing, but apparently they found that the rule of six governs why and how Brits queue. Okay, so let me read you this. New study by University of London says that people on average wait for 6 minutes in a queue before giving up in frustration. I'm going to get to a point here, by the way, but I just want to, this makes me laugh. It's unlikely that people will join a queue that has more than six people in it. However, once you've joined a queue and you look behind you and you find there are six people behind you, you're less likely to leave it because you've kind of thought to yourself, well, I'm here now, I'm not going to give up. The personal space, apparently 6 inches is the minimum space allowed. We need at least 6 inches. So everything was six in this study. Engaging in conversation whilst queuing was viewed as completely unacceptable by British people. One of the most confusing things to visitors from abroad, though, was... Oh, and also queue jumping was a serious no-no. But offering your place to someone to go ahead of you was seen as disrespecting the queue in British culture. And so this... And just finally, there's this guy who's a traveller's journal. He said, I was flying to Cairo, So, and I had a stopover in Frankfurt. And when I came to boarding, everyone just stood around in like five different lines, pushing to get to the front. I literally didn't know what to do, so I just stood quietly to the side and waited for it to die down. After about 5 minutes, there were about 10 other people standing behind me, all looking over in a mixture of confusion and disgust. It turns out I'm so British that I'd started a queue of other British people without realising. Obviously, being British, I didn't actually speak to them to find out, but I overheard a few cheers that confirmed my suspicions. Anyway, right, queuing. We're a people who queue, all right, so in this country. And I wonder if I asked the question, you know, we're very passionate about queuing, but what would happen, let's just say, that we were in a war zone and they were dropping food, the only food that's been dropped for weeks, and you needed to feed your family. I wonder how we would be in that situation. I mean, I'd like to think that I would be compassionate, yeah, and put people to the front first, but actually if my kids are starving, am I going to be queuing that Britishly? I don't know. Or maybe, you know, those situations, you know, where trains need to be evacuated or the plane and you're on, and you know, yes, of course we'll form an orderly queue, but would I really, if I needed to get my kids out and there's smoke coming into the carriage? I don't know. I don't know. Are we a people who queue? I wonder whether God do queuing? I think it's good to ask the question, because as we've discovered today, queuing for us is something we're very passionate about, something that's quite ingrained in our culture. And I wonder whether we unquestioningly think, well, we queue, so God must queue. I mean, this is right. This is the right thing. So this must be how God does things. Does life work better with queues? Of course it does. Queues are orderly, aren't they? And God is a God of order and not chaos, right? So God orders things, so and queues are ordered, so therefore God must do queuing. Queues bring justice. I think somebody mentioned this. There's a sense of justice to queue, isn't there? I was here first, and so I will be served first. And so there's a sense of justice that people aren't pushing in. But I wonder how just the teaching of Jesus may challenge just some of our thinking. I mean, you may be surprised to find out that actually Jesus doesn't speak about queuing directly in the Gospels. But he was Jewish as well, so I don't know how Jewish people and how the Israelites, they get on with queuing, but we're British. But let's just think, if you turn to Matthew 20, let's just have a look at that. Yeah, but believe it or not, I am going to get to some scriptures here. Matthew chapter 20. And let's just consider this idea of first come, first served, which is a queuing thing, right? Yeah? Let me read you this. Matthew chapter 20, one of Jesus' parables. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them to his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go out and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and at about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now, the punchline of that parable, the first will be last and the last will be first, is in Jesus' upside-down kingdom, challenges our idea of queuing. I'm going to call it the ethics of queuing, okay? Don't think for one second I mean for you to go out and next time in the post office just to say, well, I'm a Christian and my pastor has said that I must now bar to the front. Just hear me out. But it's the kind of the mentality that some of these things bring in us. And if we're honest, we struggle with this parable, don't we? I hope we do, because it's the people in the parable are struggling with it. You know, they've been sweating out in the field all day long. And then some guys swan along. I mean, at 5 o'clock, you know, that's clocking off time, isn't it, really? You know, maybe they've done an hour or two's work and they get paid the same as the guys who've been there all day. And it seems very unfair. Those who were there first and worked the whole day, surely they should be rewarded more. Yeah. But Jesus seems to flatten things out and he seems to make everyone the same. There's no extra reward for working harder. There's no extra reward for being there longer. And he tells this story where he rewards everyone equally, no matter how much work they've done or how long they've been there. And so there's a lot of serious queue jumping here. It's almost like Jesus is giving us a mandate to jump queues. Not the first come first served, but the last first. The last will be first and the first will be last, which seems unfair to us. But then Jesus gives us this perspective and he says, well, look at it from God's point of view. He can do what he wants with his money in this, but then it's kind of the analogies of his grace. And if this landowner hadn't employed anybody, then nobody would have got anything. It was actually the landowner who offered the work in the first place. And if he hadn't offered it, then nobody would have got anything. I mean, he did the double negative there. Or did I? I can't anyway. And his challenge is, are you envious because I'm generous? And so some people apply this parable and they talk of it in sort of personal terms. So it speaks of maybe somebody who comes to Christ and has a deathbed conversion. They will get to heaven just the same as somebody like Keith, you know, who I know has been a Christian since the year dot, you know, so, you know, and you think, well, oh, that's interesting. Well, what's the point of Keith's life, you know, for the whole of the last however many years, Keith, you know, but at the same, and then somebody just sort of swans into heaven at the last minute because they've lived like the devil, and then suddenly at the last minute they repent and they receive Christ and then they're welcomed into heaven. Some people see it like that. Some people speak of this on how it's speaking more kind of in a bigger picture, sort of saying, well, the Jewish people were there first, and then the Gentiles have come in last. But because of the way God's grace works, the Gentiles receive God's grace, and they, the last, have now become first, and the Jewish people come in last, as it were. So you can look at it like that. But I wonder whether we shouldn't worry too much about where we fit in this parable, because actually we need to realize that we're all, in a way, like the late workers in the field, in that we've all received God's unmerited grace. Yeah? In a sense, through Jesus, we've all jumped the queue. You know, if we were on a queue of righteousness, I don't know if you've done this before, but where would you fit? You know, am I above Emma or is she above me? You know, and we have this competition. Then we're, well, I'm going to barge in front of Emma, then Emma thinks she's not going to, Elmer be. Well, in reality, through the grace of God, he's picked Emma out of the queue and he's put her at the head, as he has done with me and he has done with you if you've accepted Christ. And so, in reality, we have all been bumped to the top of the queue by Jesus through no merit of our own, through us not having been here for a long time or not a long time, through none of us having worked or achieved anything, but just because he has made it happen. I don't know if you've ever had that experience of being upgraded, you know, on a flight or something. We did once as a family, because Dad used to get staff travel, which is like the ultimate downgrade. Staff travel, do you ever get staff travel? The way it works is you get this thing called a standby ticket and you pay next to nothing, but you don't know whether you're going to get on the flight. Which, if you want a really stressful family holiday with two small children, let me tell you, it's a brilliant way to do it. So oftentimes, and every year my mum would say, we're not doing this again next year. And then every year they would look at the prices and think, okay, we'll have to do that again this year. But there was this one year, so we were on standby, and we didn't know whether we would get on the plane, and whether we'd be stranded. I think it was in Chicago. And they said, well, we haven't got any space. So it was like, we're just about to go, okay, well, I think. But there's four seats in first class. Would you like them? And the other thing is, when you travel standby for British Airways, you always have to dress nicely, just in case, on the off chance, you get bumped up into first class. And on this one occasion, I can still taste the ice cream now. It was the best food I had in my life. You know, this is on an aeroplane as well, of all things. And we got to fly first class at the front of a jumbo jet, you know, where you're just staring at the front, just the wall. It's just amazing. And that's what God does. He says, you don't deserve to be here. You know, and you don't even deserve to be in standard class, but I am calling you out into first class to the head of the queue. So actually, in God, first come, first serve doesn't apply. We're not all queuing in the queue of righteousness to see if we're going to get to heaven, but actually, Jesus turns it upside down anyway. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last, and he will call you out. And that moves me on to this idea. If you turn to John chapter 5, first come, first serve doesn't always apply. And queue jumping, we've got some queue jumping going on in this one as well. John chapter 5, I'll read this to you. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in his condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. And the story goes on. So here's a situation. If you don't know the situation, just in ancient times here in Jerusalem, you've got this situation where all these people have collected and they're waiting for this water in this pool to be stirred, supposedly by an angel, and they would go down and the first one in would get healed. So this is the ultimate kind of like, it's kind of like the doctor's surgery waiting queue, you know, in ancient times. And they're all waiting there together to be healed, but I doubt if they're waiting politely, queuing politely. You know, I imagine there to be a very ungracious scrum when this water's stirred, and however that happens, I imagine there to be a bit of a fight to get to the... And you can imagine, particularly if they're disabled people, that's a very ugly fight, you know. They're all needy people. All of them are needy people. And having sat in hospitals myself for a long time, you do get into that sort of comparison thing where you look across and you think, well, his leg is pretty bad, but I don't know whether he deserves it as much as me, because both my knees, you know, whatever my situation. And then we start, oh, but then Bryony, she's really suffering, so maybe she should go first. And then you start to justify yourself, well, no, maybe Bryony shouldn't go first, because then that's what we do in those kind of situations. I wonder whether that was going on here. And in reality, what was going on was actually the people who were strongest, the people who were least needy, probably, were the ones who were able to get to the front. So they jumped the queue. Those fit enough to get into the water quick. So Jesus kind of joins the queue. Do you notice? So just joins in, and he's the kind of person like Wendy who starts chatting to people in queues. And he meets this man. He's been waiting there for 38 years to be healed. I mean, that's a long time to be waiting in a queue, isn't it? That's a long time. If you think the queues at the post office are long, then that's taking it to another level. And so he starts chatting to him and says, do you want to be healed? And he's asking the man, in a sense, do you want to jump to the front of the queue? Because you've been waiting a long time. And his answer is that he never really makes it to the front of the queue because people keep barging in front of him. And you might think, well, that's good Christian principle, isn't it? We like brothers, you know, we want to put people first, you know, well, after you, after you. I used to have this friend at university who was a very spiritual young man at the time, and we used to have this joke that he would always, we'd get to the door and he'd say, after you, and I said, no, after you, and it would be almost a competition, who could be more spiritual by waiting the longest before eventually he's like, well, I've got to get to a lecture, so I'm going, you know. It's one of those things, you know, we think it's a very righteous thing to let people go first, and in many instances it is, but this guy, in essence, has been letting this happen for 38 years, and Jesus is kind of offering him, do you want to get to the front of the queue? So Jesus bypassed the queue, and he just says, pick up your mat and walk, and he did. And so effectively, Jesus is bumping this guy up to first class again, isn't he? He gets healed, and he walks, he's gone to the front of the queue. And then you might think in the story, but what about all the others? Do you ever think that? We've focused in on this one man, he picks up his mat, but there's all these others lying around, and surely, you know, if it was that situation, Alan and Bryony, they're still suffering. They're still in this queue with me. What about them? But the message is here that it is God's grace that pulls us out and calls us out. It's sometimes a difficult thing to get our head round, you know, because we do start asking questions about what about the other person, what about this person, but actually we rejoice that God has called us and chosen us and brought us to the front of the queue by God's grace. And so I say thanks be to God. So how do I apply some of this? Now, I just want to make very, very clear, I'm not suggesting we abandon British queuing culture, okay? Please don't push yourself to the front of the queue and say, I'm a Christian. Probably the worst witness you could have in these kind of situations. And in fact, Jesus warns of this, doesn't he? There's a parable in Luke 14 where it says, if you're invited to a feast, don't go and stick yourself at the high table. You know, go and, because if it may end up that the host might say, actually, you know, that's your place, and put you somewhere more humble. But rather, put yourself in a humble place and allow God to promote you, allow God to pull you out, put you to the head. So there is that sort of sense that we, in our attitude in life, we need to be ones who wait to be promoted and take on that idea of not first come, first serve. I mean, it's very freeing, actually, isn't it, when we can live a life where we don't have to push ourselves to the front and just say, well, I'm just going to trust God, and if he promotes me, he promotes me. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But either way, it's not up to me. I can just trust in God's grace rather than have to be the top dog all the time. But I want to sort of challenge some of the ethics of queuing, if you like, the mentality of queuing, which causes us to think maybe in a contrary to the way God thinks. Because I just want to put it out there that God doesn't always think first come, first serve. So ideas like I've queued here for long enough, or I've earned my place here, or I'm ahead of you, don't apply in the kingdom of God. Underpinning our lives, underpinning the way we live, is that gospel message that Jesus picks us out for no other reason other than he just picks us out and lavishes his grace and his love on us, and calls us to the front. And so queuing is not how the gospel works. And he calls us out. So in everyday life, I wonder whether the grace of God, we've talked about driving in the past, but whether the grace of God can work in the way we, you know, for instance, Daniel's on the slip lane on the M25. I mean, do you do what I do, which is like if someone does that thing and you sort of like edge into, well, you're not going to come in here. You're not pushing in. Oh, yeah, me too. But I wonder whether, as a follower of Christ, I might just joyously say, well, go on then. I mean, they're not going to know. But if we all live like that, wouldn't the world be an interesting place, a different place? Where we just, oh, Emma, just come in. You don't deserve it. And you've been rather aggressive to get there, but I'm going to let you in. I wonder whether also, I mean, do you sometimes struggle, you know, you feel a bit guilty at the supermarket, and someone says, do you want to go ahead of me? And you're thinking, really? Okay, and you're feeling really bad now. This lady's got a whole trolley of shopping and two kids who are screaming, but I've only got two bread rolls, so I do deserve to be in front. but she's offered me the place, do I take it? You know, and there's that whole, well, yeah, take it. That's okay. Just allow God to be gracious to you. Live. It's about living these spiritual ideas into our life so that when we may come to encounter people and we're trying to speak of the gospel, may people would see it in our lives. Does that make sense? So we're actually practicing what we preach, and we're not sort of making these things two separate things. So offer your place in the queue. I was even wondering, you know, I mean, Josh says he doesn't like people saving the place. I wonder whether, because that annoys people, doesn't it? You know, sort of coming in front of me. I don't know why that's acceptable. You're allowed to come in front of me, but you can't come in behind me. There's some kind of unwritten rule. But I wonder whether if there's somebody in a queue at the supermarket or something and they've got their kids are kicking off or whatever, you say, would you like to take my place? And then you go to the back of the queue. I mean, that would be a huge prophetic act, wouldn't it? And a huge conversation starter as well, if you want to do that kind of thing. But in these things, we're living out these ways of Jesus. They're not just ideas, and they're not just spiritual things where, oh yeah, God's called me to the front of the queue and I'm Jesus, and that's okay. Well, that is true, but it also beds down into how we live our life. So that we're people of grace, and we're people of love, and we're people of last first and first last. And the other thing I was just thinking about, I mean, and this is you may think this is a slight tangent, but I'm wondering in how queuing affects the way we pray. And I wonder whether sometimes as British people in our prayer, we wait a bit too patiently in line. You know, sort of like this man 38 years in the queue. But know that God has called us to the front of the queue, and so he encourages us to be bold in prayer. When Jesus puts us to the front of the queue in that sense, he doesn't do it at the expense of other people, by the way. You know, so if just because I'm the front of the queue doesn't mean, say, I've kicked them out of the way in Jesus. We're both there together. And so you know that bit in Luke where he says, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. Jesus is encouraging audacious prayer. And I think there's a warning to us where we feel as though there are some of us that feel as though I'm not worthy to be prayed for. You know, sometimes when we pray for healing, and some people, oh yeah, well this person's more worthy, and I'm not. Well, actually, no, there's a challenge there, because I think Jesus calls us to the front. So if you need to be prayed for, then be prayed for. Or there are more important things than me to be prayed for. Or God's a bit too busy answering the stuff about going on in Syria before he can answer my prayers. That's not the way God works. Yes, he is concerned with stuff going on in Syria, but he's also concerned with you. And being God, he's able to deal with it all at the same time. So when he calls you to the front of the queue and we pray, then we're able to be bold in our prayers and ask for even little old me and little old this situation. The last should be first and the first should be last. So I want us to be thinking, how does kingdom queuing work? And you need to go and figure this out for yourself, because it's different things for different people. Maybe Daniel and I need to work on our motorway queuing, but it's funny how you said that this morning, Daniel, because I'm thinking, yep, you're saying exactly how I feel, so, yeah. But I'm also guilty of doing the opposite. But so go and figure out how this works, because I think in everything, and I hope this is one of the things I'm getting across, in everything in our lives, that Jesus needs to challenge and affirm things in us. Whether it's queuing, whether it's driving a car, whether it's all the different things. Let's finish there. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to tidy up my jumbled thoughts. So. Lord, this is a slightly strange topic. I think, I don't know how many church services have been talking about this morning, but at the same time, we want to just be sincere and real in the way we live our lives as followers of you, Jesus. And so I pray, challenge us in the different areas of our lives that we've looked at in the last few weeks to be conformed to your image and to live in your ways, because we know those ways are the best ways for us. Life works so much better when we are following you in every area of our lives. But we recognize it is a life's work to follow you, so come, Holy Spirit, and empower us and lead us in your ways to walk in these things and challenge our thinking in the different areas of life. And particularly in regards to queuing, let us learn how to queue in a kingdom way. Let us learn how to stand and wait, to put others first in some instances, but also to know that we've been put first and to receive your grace. So Lord, we humble ourselves before you and ask you to change us and transform us into your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you. If you'd like to talk to me afterwards, form an orderly queue. If you want a tea or a coffee, there's queuings that way. Toilets you can queue for that way. You might need to queue out to get out of the car park. Either way, bless you.